All right, welcome back to the Appetite for Construction podcast. I'm your host, John Masonbrink. I'm here with Tim Ward. Tim, how you doing?
John, the way you intro'd me, it sounded like I sounded over the last 10 days. Coming off COVID, I have not been good, but I'm pumped and ready for today's podcast.
Dang, I'll keep you at your word on that. You know, we were talking earlier today, and we were talking about overused words. And I'm not sure if this word describes our, you know, we have two all-star guests today. And our next guest, the word is legendary. He's a legend. Should we bring him on?
Let's do it.
All right. Spencer Brown with Pfister Faucets and the American Plumber Story. Spencer, how you doing?
Good. Good to see you guys. Been a while.
I know. Have you killed anything lately?
Man, well, the season's ended, so kind of getting in depression stage for a little bit. But turkey season's only a month away, so we're gearing up for turkey season. But we had a good season, real good deer season, so... But I think the guys at work are ready to get me back for at least for a month or so.
You're on the road starting tomorrow for work, right?
Yeah. Got a big day tomorrow. It's got a big adventure. Probably one of my biggest adventures we've taken. So I'm looking forward to it.
We're looking forward to talking about it at some point in the near future.
Yep.
Can we even hint at? I mean, it's pretty big. I mean, you'll be gone for what, 2 weeks, 10 days?
Well, why don't you give us your accent that you gave me the other day?
All right, mate. How's that? Would you like a, what do they drink? Foster's? Don't know. I don't want to generalize Australians, but Spencer's going to go to Australia.
Nice.
Yep. That's it. And then you sound just like you're from there, by the way.
You want to hear my Spencer, accent?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I want to hear that.
No, that's for later. So anyway, you know, Spencer's done a great job with the American Plumber Stories. We're in finished season four, right?
Yep.
And the last video, what are the numbers on that, Spencer? It's been.
Yeah. The last time I checked, it was around 410,000 views. So one of our biggest episodes we've done. Great story with Shane Dawson. Yeah, it's been huge.
Do you know what? You know, there's a little bump in that viewership. Do you know why?
Oh, I know why.
Tim was in it.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, stop it.
So
Shane's a rock star. He's a really cool guy too.
Yeah, he is. All right. Let's just stop the small talk. I'm super excited. We have our second guest, our second all-star guest. Come on. Let's bring her on. We are excited to introduce Chelsea Meisner. Previously on reality television show Survivor and Southern Charm. What the heck are you doing on the Appetite for Construction podcast, Chelsea?
Well, I want to say first off that I'm very impressed that you got my last name right the first time. That never happens.
Really?
Bravo.
Well, thank you. So welcome to the show, Chelsea. Appreciate you joining us.
Might have something to do with John being a big fan of Southern Charm as well.
That is true.
Come on. I wouldn't admit that to anyone.
Come on. Hey, so real quick, I was talking to a friend, Mike Prinkavich Jr., and I said, you ever watch this show? And he goes, well, I haven't, but my brother is a big fan. He doesn't miss any of the episodes. So, Wow. Hey.
That's not what I was expecting coming onto this podcast. Southern Charm fans. Maybe Survivor, but.
So we have a lot of questions about a lot of stuff, actually. You know, the reality TV, working with Spencer on some projects. But, you know, you've been pretty busy the last few months. How has motherhood been?
Oh my gosh, amazing. Yeah. I have no idea. I've heard it from all of my friends that it's the best thing that'll ever happen to you. And I always thought that they were just full of it. And I just wanted to go out and adventure my whole life. And I never went. I shouldn't say never, but just wasn't ready for motherhood quite yet. But I'm glad it happened when it did because I was definitely missing out.
Yeah. Well, you look happy. You look great. Thanks again for jumping on.
She's a good baby, so I lucked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Tim, where do you want to start?
Well, I guess I want to start with Survivor. Chelsea, were you a big fan of Survivor before you threw your name in the hat to become a cast member? And what was that process like?
I wish that I could say that because honestly, I feel bad when I say this to super fans of the show, but I was actually recruited. And a lot of people don't know this, but for Survivor, they have to meet specific demographics. So they do what they can with the people who send in an application and do all that stuff. But for each season, they have different demographics that they have to meet. And for my particular season, I mean, it's crazy specific, down to like my height, to the color of my hair. They needed someone that was from the Southeast that was more redneck than Southern Belle. And, you know, they preferred a blonde that was, you know, around 5'5", 5'6". And one of my friends became a recruiter for CBS after she was on the show. And so she just started sending in all her friends that fit that demographic. And at the time I was in medical sales and they called me randomly. Like, I didn't know she sent them my name. I didn't really watch much of the show other than like the first couple seasons. And they said, "Hey, we're with Survivor. Are you interested in being on the show?" And I said, "Absolutely not." And they were like, "What?" I said, "No." I said, "First of all, you might have the wrong number." I said, "I don't know how you got my information." I said, "But, you know, I've got my dream job and I can't imagine like quitting my job and going and do something like that." And they're like, "Wow, we've never had like a hard pass like that." And they said, "Well, just sleep on it. Maybe talk to your family and we'll give you a call in a couple of days and see if that's still where you stand." So I talked to my family. They told me that I was crazy to give up an opportunity and an adventure like that. And, you know, it might not ever come back around again. And a job you can go and get at any other time. So they called me back and I said, "What do I got to do?" And long story short, I flew out to LA. You have to do all kinds. You have to do a psych test, an IQ test. They keep you secluded, like completely by yourself for a week, going through like interviews. And then if you make it to the end, you have an interview with Jeff Probst, Mark Burnett, and some of the producers of the show. So I made it all the way to the end and had my interviews. And then they sent me home and I didn't hear from them for like 4 or 5 months. So I was thinking, "Oh, I must not have made it." Went on about my life, kept my job, was doing all the same things. I get a call and they said, "Hey, congratulations. You're on the next season. You leave in 2 weeks." Well, I had not been preparing. I was not out in the woods trying to like learn how to start a fire, like sticks. I had not been like actively in the gym or like cutting back caffeine, all the things you feel like you need to try to prep. And basically I had 2 weeks to figure out what I was going to do with my dog, you know, my rent, my job, you know, all the things. So when I left to go do that show, I really did not feel prepared.
How long of a time were you there and where was it?
It was in Samoa.
Okay.
And you're gone for about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
The filming itself is 39 days, but you're there a week or two before filming and then another couple days after filming.
Well, I was going to say happy 12th anniversary. 12 years ago today, your first episode aired.
Really?
Tim's getting a little down to the details.
Wow. 12 years has flown by.
What was like the most challenging, like bugs or like, you know, making an alliance with a group? Or I mean, what was
You know, going out there, I really thought that no food was going to be an issue. But once you're out there, and you don't think about this until you're in a situation like this, but when you don't see food, when you don't smell food, when you don't see advertisements for food, when it's not in your face all the time, it's really out of sight, out of mind. I mean, after the first couple days of like the hunger pains, I mean, there was challenges where we won food and I almost didn't want to eat it because it would make you even more sick.
Yeah, yeah. I might try to get on that diet though. Where do I go to figure that out?
That wasn't the hard, like everybody kind of thinks that that'd probably be the hardest, but it's really not. The weather, it rained the first 5 days straight. So we were out there without any shelter. We hadn't won any like tarp or any of the comfort items at that point. And it downpoured for 5 days straight. It never let up.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hardest part.
Yeah.
Being cold and wet is not fun.
But you came in third place. Is that right?
Yeah. I stuck it out somehow.
One of the cool things about that season of Survivor is that you actually started in same gender tribes. And the really cool part is by the time we got to the final tribe, the tribal council, there were only three women left.
We were the only season that's ever had a final five of all women.
All women. Yeah. So what was the secret sauce in getting all the women that far?
It's interesting to look back at because the guys were kicking our tails. I mean, we were bad off. We were losing every challenge. All the women were at each other's throats. Nobody was getting along. We were like so sleep deprived. No one could start a fire. I mean, we were bad. And I was so embarrassed because I was thinking, man, my family and friends are going to be watching this. And I'm going to be so embarrassed that I'm with these group of girls and everybody's just, I hate to say this, but like typical female things, you know, and the men were thriving. I mean, they had the best camp set up. They had a fire set up within a few minutes. I mean, thriving. And at some point, the men kind of turned on each other. I think their egos kind of got in the way and they started going at each other. And at that point, we like had miraculously won a challenge and it was like the tides had turned that quick. Then we won the next challenge and the next challenge. And we were like, oh my God, like we might be able to do this, you know? And we got some momentum. And the women actually trusted each other more than the men trusted each other. So that's honestly how we ended up with the final five women, is that we just trusted nice. Each other more than the men.
Plus, it wasn't bad that you could spear fish and catch chickens.
Yeah, that definitely helped. They couldn't get rid of me if I was feeding them.
That's right. Yeah, Spencer and I had talked about getting on a show. It's one where you get like a hatchet and a bucket of water and they drop you off. You take your clothes off and you go out in the wild.
Yeah, naked and afraid.
I'm like, what conversation was that in?
Spencer's like, I never had that conversation.
Yeah, I was like, where's this going?
There was a guy that was on my season of Survivor with me that went and did Naked and Afraid.
He did. Okay.
Yeah. And his name was Michael and he, was in Africa and the girl that was out there with him was off within the first couple hours. She like was done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he only made it like 5 or 6 days.
Okay. Like,
that's no joke.
Have you ever been asked back for any of the other survivors? 'Cause I know several of your castmates have been on other survivors. Have you been asked back?
Yes, I got asked back 2 different times. I went back out to California and did the whole thing again. And actually the one, it was called Blood vs. Water. And it was where you had a family member and they wanted me and my dad.
Hmm.
So the problem was that they had already had too many people from our season that went back. So we got cut from that. And there was one other one. It was like maybe fan favorites or something versus fans. I don't know. One of those, but got cut on both of them.
Well, speaking of that, last year, Chelsea, we were supposed to meet you at the Builders show and life happened. But take us through that. I know you've done some things with Pfister Faucets and Home Tours video. Take us through, meeting Spencer and that relationship.
So I started renovating homes. The house I'm in now is the third house that I've renovated. And each time it's a little bit easier and I get a little bit more educated. And so this particular renovation, when it came to all of my faucets, I wanted to meet with somebody that knew what they were doing in that area, because I've always just guessed and that worked out for me. I was always taking things back. And so I wanted to do it the right way this time. So we had mutual friends and other people that had told me, you know, reach out to them. They have a designer that can come out and help. And so that's when I got in touch with Madeline. And that's who I did a lot of work with the renovation to pick out faucets and all that. So that's kind of how that. And then I met Spencer.
Well, Spencer, talk about that. Talk about first meeting Chelsea.
Yeah. So we were in, you know, American Plumber Stories, and I think we were on season two or three. I can't remember. And it's going well. And we have a showroom line of faucets called Pfister Showroom. And as the success of American Plumber Stories, we thought about different ways that we could showcase our showroom product using the same type of storytelling or filming using Sub 7. And we had some ideas and played around with it. And one of the best ways that we could showcase our product was to actually show it in an actual house that where it's being used and installed. And so we used the playbook of American Plumber Stories, and we created what we call home tours. And we had shot one episode with one another couple. And then, you know, through the relationship with Chelsea, we reached out to her. Now, I will tell you, our interview process wasn't near as extensive as Survivor. I think it was just a matter of a quick phone call. But so she accepted, and we were able to do home tour of all the products that she put in her house. And we had seen a video. She had did a renovation. You had posted it somewhere. We had seen it. So it saw how she does her, her style and her taste, and it fit who we are at Pfister's. It was perfect. Got to show the house and, very Charleston-ish designing, which was really cool. So that was, it's a really good way for us to showcase our product through an actual tour. And that's what it's called, home tour. So that's where the relationship came from.
So there's murmurs, Spencer, that there might be this relationship moving forward to do like an American Designer series or something to that effect. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we're thinking about doing some things to take very similar to American Plumber stories that we would feature designers. And we're looking at different options, and we love what we're doing with American Plumber Stories, and we know we can take this in other areas of Pfister. So yeah, we're definitely talking about it.
Very cool.
Now, Chelsea, I recently saw you on an episode with your Survivor bestie on her HGTV show where you were designing a baby suite.
Yeah.
What was that like?
So when she called me and asked me for help, I thought I was just going to be in the background going and running errands for her. Like, she was so knee deep and all the, it was her first season on HGTV, and she's a perfectionist. So I knew that this was going to be really hard when she had a very strict time frame, budget, and all the things. So when she asked me to come out there and help, I did not think that I was going to be on screen with her. And then while we were there, she got the call from the homeowners. They found out that they were pregnant, and the one room in their house, they asked that we do some sort of nursery. And or no, they told her that they were pregnant, and she wanted to surprise them with the nursery. Mm-hmm. So I just happened to be there when she was like, oh, shit, I've got this other room I need to do. Please help. So I was very happy to go there and help her with that.
Now, Kim was also the winner of your season.
Yep.
Are you hoping to take some of the design elements and move forward as John and Spencer were talking about? Should something come about? I mean, are we looking for a lot more design for you coming out in the future? Or,
well, Kim, who's my best friend, is another thing I appreciate about Survivor. Some of the people that I've met on there have continued to be very, very close friends of mine. She got her own show on HGTV after renovating my last house.
Oh, okay.
So when I kind of was posting before and afters and tagging her as my interior designer, HGTV reached out to her to potentially have her own show. And now she's on her second, just finished her second season and is crushing it. So I've learned a lot from her. And I think we've both kind of had that design creative eye, but I think doing the second house with her, I learned so much. I had so much fun with it, and it became more of a passion of mine. So my next house, I did all myself just to see if I could do it. And I think I did pretty good job. So, but yeah, I love this industry. I've always just kind of done it for fun. I've never thought of doing it as a career. It's scary to me to do that, but I love to do it for fun.
Yeah. So Tim and I and our other partner, Eric, we're going to be in Charleston, South Carolina in what, mid-April, Tim?
Mid-April.
We're having our little business meeting. We decided Charleston. And give us some tips. Like, where do we eat? Where do we go?
Well, it's the perfect time of year to come here.
Okay.
I mean, it's beautiful here. You can't go wrong really anywhere downtown. It's so charming, and every restaurant, I mean, there's new ones that pop up all the time. I can't keep up, but you could just park your car and walk and just amazing time.
My family, we've been there the last couple of years, Charleston and then the coast. And, you know, we get a burger at Post Tavern on Sullivan's Island. And then, you know, well, Fleet Landing, is that overrated, or is that something that's...
It's a little too touristy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We usually hit that.
They're building a massive, I don't know if it's a hotel or condos or what, like, right on the water right there. So it kind of takes away from the serenity from that particular area of downtown.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about Southern Charm too, because, you know, it was one of my favorite. My wife and I, we'd watch that show. I'm not joking. But then we kind of thought, like, is it just, and forgive me, is it like just like trust fund kids running around with, you know, money and partying and stuff? Do you think it gives an accurate representation of the city?
That's definitely a part of it. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like there's a lot of people who come from old money, mm-hmm. who've never really had any responsibility, that like to party, that get into drama. I mean, there's definitely a lot of that goes on.
Drama? No.
Yeah. Bravo TV, there's no drama. But yeah, that's a part of it. But, you know, the part that I hate that they don't showcase more of is people who are actually from the South.
Yeah.
And like that Southerners enjoy to doing other than going to the bars and drinking all the time. I mean, there's just so much more to Charleston than what they showcase.
Like, for instance, my buddy's going down there the same time, around the same time we're going to be there. And he was asking about taking a charter to go red fishing. Is that,
yeah.
Look at her eyes just like lit up. But is it the season for it, or is it not the season?
I think it's always a season for redfish.
Well, there you go.
And I could tell you where to go, although your charter is going to obviously know where to go. I could tell you charters that I've enjoyed, like friends of mine that do it. But yeah, redfishing is amazing here pretty much year round.
Yeah.
What about crabbing?
What's that?
You gonna do some crabbing while you're there?
Possibly, yeah.
I think
that's fun.
Tim, I know you had a question about her prowess with the bow.
If you haven't heard, Navien's new NPF hydro furnace is on the market, and they're offering an unbelievable incentive to try it. This new furnace from Navien is 97% AFUE ultra-low NOx and has an industry-leading variable capacity ranging from 15 to 100%. Right now, contractors can get a $1,000 gift card when they go to navienfurnace.com and submit their first NPF purchase info. Again, that's a $1,000 gift card. NPF purchases must be made between January 22nd and April 15th, 2024, and submitted through the form at navienfurnace.com by April 20th, 2024. See full promotion details at navienfurnace.com. Don't miss out on this great promotion.
Well, I was going to ask that in the hobbies portion of the podcast. Right now, I'm more curious about how she became involved with Southern Charm, and was it as hard to become a cast member on that as it was Survivor?
No, I guess because it's not, a show where you win $1 million at the end of it. I wish it was, but No, I actually, Cameron Wimberly, who was on the show, was one of my best friends. We were roommates. We worked together for years, and they wanted to bring someone on that was like a genuine friend of hers. Mm-hmm. And I did one interview with them, and that was it.
It's all it takes. It's all it takes. Speaking of Southern Charm, is meeting Andy Cohen like meeting Spencer Brown? Is it kind of the same parallel?
Yeah. It's the same.
Yeah, I'm sure we have the same hobbies, right, Chelsea?
Do they always have a drink in their hand?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I actually enjoyed Andy.
He is. I think he's a really nice guy. I mean, you see him on TV.
You don't get much time to really interact with him. You know, you only really see him during the reunion shows, and those are just so draining, and so nobody really had time to just hang out with him. But the time I did, I thought he was pretty cool.
Well, you mentioned drama on the show. Now, how much is like real drama, or is it like produced drama? I mean, can you?
Some is, some isn't. I mean, there's things, and I'm just speaking for myself. Like, there's things that I wouldn't have naturally been upset about, or would have ever brought up to anyone. Yeah. Like it. I'm pretty laid back. So there's things that they would want me to get a little more upset about and want me to go to someone about.
Don't ruin it for John. Okay. Like he's like,
I'm loving it. So,
I mean, he's already like,
there's other times where it's genuine, like drama that people get very upset with each other and all that.
Spencer, you know, I'm going to go back and like watch these and go, is this the produced drama, or is this like the real drama?
I'd say it's just a little more exaggerated than it probably would be in real life. We know that drama is what people want to see, unfortunately. And we know that if we want to make more money and we want more seasons, then we have to, there has to be some element.
Cliffhangers and exactly. Yeah. You had mentioned that Survivor, you have some lifelong friends. Do you still keep in touch with people on Southern Charm, or has the drama been too much?
I mean, Cameron's is my daughter's godmother.
Okay, yeah.
Naomi, who was on the show, her and I are still great friends. Craig was texting me the other day talking about potentially doing a collaboration with his pillows in my interior design. Shep, I hear from every now and then, and that's about it.
Yeah. Okay. Do I dare ask about Austin?
Never hear from him. I think he is very busy these days.
I was curious, are the cast members, are they rock stars in Charleston, or is everybody like they're just locals?
I mean, yeah, they're rock stars. Craig has a store downtown where he sells his pillows. And if people know that he's going to be there, I mean, King Street's pretty much shut down because there's so many people standing to go and meet him.
Well, you need to find out when you go in April.
Yeah. Well, last year we were on
head of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she can get you up front.
Well, I'll get you a free pillow.
Well, last year we were vacationing Isle of Palms, and we were at Harris Teeter, the grocery store, I guess. Is that the name of it? Harris Teeter? Yeah. And one of the cast members was walking around in like sunglasses and a hat. It was very like incognito. And I'm like, are they really that popular? And like, I guess you just said they are. So, yeah.
Was that Chelsea doing that?
No, it was. Do you still watch it, Chelsea?
I don't.
Okay. Her name was Olivia, I think, on the show.
Yeah, I've never met her.
Yeah. So.
No, John kind of dropped this earlier, and I mentioned, you know, we saw your chicken catching skills, but I've noticed bow target shooting. Mm-hmm. Is that still something you enjoy doing?
I love it. It's therapeutic to me. I've never been bow hunting. I've never shot anything other than a target, but I love it.
Wait a minute. Spencer hasn't asked you to go on a hunting expedition or go, you know, he's opening this. Well, I can't even mention it. Can I mention this, Spencer? This lodge?
Sure. Yeah.
he's asked me, but you know, then I had a baby and now it's like, that's it. That she's all for me right now. Yeah, no, so
we get it.
But I do want to go hunting and I do want to go to the lodge and make an appearance and see what it's like out there.
Yeah, that was the thing when we shot home tours, I was with some somewhat professional hunter guys with Mark coming from Realtree and she found out that was her reward for doing the show. She got free bow shooting lessons and it was really good from the get go. We didn't have to give her much lessons. She was hitting the target pretty well. And so it was pretty impressive. So
they basically just told me how shitty my gear was.
Wait, well, they didn't even let you borrow theirs.
Shitty gear. Then I must be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're working on that. We'll might get some for you one day, but we'll see.
I want to be sponsored by like Matthews. Was it Matthews?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll get her a new bow. Maybe it was a nice bow. It wasn't bad. It was a good starter bow. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. It's all right.
I mean, you didn't shoot your chickens that you had in your backyard. So that was good.
I've never missed, knock on wood.
So when's the next design in the Charleston area?
I don't know. I mean, I wish I could just flip houses all the time, but unfortunately with the way the market is, it's just, I can't do it like that anymore. And I'm really happy in the house I'm in now. It's in a really good location right by a really good school that my daughter will probably end up going to. So, you know, I don't know if I'll flip anymore for me personally, unless someone asked for help in the design, you know, that would interest me, but.
Well, I think, you know, if you work moving forward, working with Spencer, you're going to get a lot of requests for, you know, design consulting.
Yeah.
So Andy Cohen hasn't asked you to come back to Southern Charm. I'm still.
Yeah, they ask me all the time.
They just have to write a really big check, I bet.
I mean, I don't know, especially now having a child, it's just so, trust me, it's hard to turn down the money. It really is. But at the end of the day, it's like, is my peace of mind, like, what's that worth, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't want to get into anyone's business, but I think that's why Cameron kind of backed out of the show, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was the first one to leave. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of created this domino effect where then she was done. Then Naomi was done. You know, some of the other people I've heard might be done soon.
And Thomas Ravenel, does he have like a wandering eye or what's going on with that guy?
I have no idea. Sure. Seen or heard anything about him or from him since he was on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm curious, having been on Survivor and Southern Charm, you're a celebrity. What are the cool things about being a celebrity?
Some things that might be cool to some people aren't as cool to me. Like, I don't know. I guess I just prefer my private life more than most. I don't thrive on being famous. That's never really done it for me.
Philanthropy, so, anything in philanthropy or anything like that?
Yeah. I guess that's been the best part of it is there's things that I've gotten to go do and people I've gotten to go meet. But as far as just like being famous, you know.
So you're telling me at the hair salon, there's not a line of people waiting for you to cut their hair. And then there's like three, there used to be. There's three other ladies or men just waiting for, you know.
There used to be until I had to make some like big changes to where that didn't happen all the time. But
right on.
Now that I've been off the show for years, like it's not really like that anymore. I get stopped every now and then, but it's rare.
You gonna get an appointment when you go there, John?
I might. I gotta Spencer, give me the name off air. We'll get the name of the hair salon.
I think she's booked up. She stays pretty busy, I think, right? Elsie, you
don't, yeah.
She has her list of clientele and she told me that's where all the gossip happens in Charleston is the hair salon.
I'm sure.
If you really want to know what goes on in Charleston, Chelsea knows from all the.
It's kind of like our local barbershop, same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've thought about writing a book about all the stories.
So Spencer, let me ask you, what is it about Chelsea that, you know, attracts you to bring her in to work with you, you know, on, you know, future projects?
I have no idea. No. Oh, I,
jeez.
No, she's, you know, she fits our culture. She's real, she's down to earth. Mm-hmm. That's who Pfister is. That's who we are. Great. Even though she's great designer, stuff she does just amazing. Her house was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. What we did. And, she's just natural yeah. at it. And so I think that's the most part. And, I don't, you know, we talk about drama. She doesn't have that. I don't think you do very much, but, it's just about as real as you can get. Yeah. And that's who we, very similar how Craig Morgan is to us with American Plumber Stories. In fact, he's calling me right now as we speak.
Name dropper. Here we go.
Yeah. But his persona, I mean, you know, the persona of what American Plumber Stories is what, you know, Chelsea was to us with home tours and, fits us really well. So absolutely. And she likes to shoot a bow. So that doesn't hurt.
I was guessing.
Well, you mentioned earlier, you said that, did you say a cross between a Southern belle and a redneck? Did you say something like that?
No, they wanted someone that was more redneck than Southern belle.
Oh,
that's, I was out there in camouflage and not like a little dress.
Cause I feel like what's wrong with being both, right? Like, you know, you can be dressed up and look nice.
I can clean up with the best of them. Yeah. I can't. That's not where I like to live. Yeah. You know, I tend to be more on the
low key,
rough around the edges, you know,
a Southern tomboy.
There you go. Yeah. Guys, girls, what I've been called.
Guys, girls, girls, girls. Yeah. Very cool.
Neat.
Anything else, Tim, you got in your little notebook?
I don't have a notebook. I just have.
I'm just kidding. All right. Well, Chelsea, thanks so much for jumping on. It's been everything I thought it would be. You're so nice. You're super cool. I mean, just to take up 30 minutes with us chuckleheads. So thank you so much for jumping on.
I enjoyed it. Thank y'all for having me.
All right.
Looking forward to the Charleston hospitality in about a month.
I know. It'll be fun.
Look me up. I'll tell you where to go.
This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane, it's the energy for everyone.